Mini-episode 950 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 950 of the FDH Lounge. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here today with a special segment on many levels. We're unveiling the balloting for the FDH Lounge top NBA players of all time. With LeBron versus Jordan and the Big O's triple-double in the spotlight in the last year, we decided to step in to settle these disputes about who ranks where in our own way. Contrary to our Pantheon voting, which is Vox Populi, we went with the less is better approach. Seven of our dignitaries voted, the most hardcore hoop heads among us. My ballot was unveiled in mini episode number 891 back in October, with my reasoning for each pick broken down. We all voted for a top 10, and were allowed to vote for up to five honorable mention. Points ranged from 100 for first place to 25 for 10th place, with honorable mention at 10 points apiece. Two of our balloters are here to break it down with me. We start with a peek behind the curtain. We don't always post segments on the day we're recorded, but today we are. It's January 14th, 2018, the 11th anniversary of the FDH Lounge. 11 years ago tonight, fellow original dignitary Chris Galloway, along with me and a few others, brought up the curtain on the Sports Talk Network mere minutes after the curtain was brought down on Marty Schottenheimer's career with that Chargers choke against New England in the NFL Divisional Playoffs. He's remained a big part of the show over the years, and this public policy statesman, whose first campaign I ran back in college so many years ago, joins us now, and also Facebook says we became Facebook friends on this date as well. Happy Loungeversary, my man.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Rick. I feel like I should hire you to write my biography.
I'm available, and of course there are many chapters yet to be written in that, as we all know. And Chris is joined by another very long-time FDH Lounge dignitary, a colleague of ours from the old Sports Talk Network who makes regular appearances on the likes of WFAN and SNY in New York, and on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia with our fellow FDH Lounge dignitary, Joe Stazak. He's an expert on the intersection of sports and the law, as well as so many other things, and his regular podcast with Joe, Callous Remarks, and website of the same name spotlights all of that. We welcome back the great Steve Callous. How are you today, my friend?
All good. It's great to be with you and Chris. Looking forward to this.
This is going to be outstanding. Our other balloters start with two guys who, it can be said, were dignitaries before there were dignitaries. On the Proto Lounge Show Reality Check on the Sports Talk Network from 2003 to 2005, which brought me out of post-college broadcast retirement, my good friends Ron Glasnap and Dave Adams. Dave is actually a high school buddy, as is his brother Johnny, also a dignitary who's been on some Pantheon panels with Chris. Ben Chu ran the Hoops website, that NBA lottery pick, full-time for many years, and is quite the historian despite his ripe age of 30. And we simply couldn't vote without senior editor Jason Jones, another original dignitary and a Hoops fanatic to his core. So what we're going to start with, guys, is we're going to start by looking at guys who got just token honorable mention votes along the way. As it turns out, there were exactly 25 players who got votes to any degree. I'm going to mention also, going back to mini episode number 891, the two guys that I was not able to make room for in my honorable mention, the two guys that were the closest, one of whom got votes, one did not, Elgin Baylor and Moses Malone. They were the closest on this for me. Tied for 20th, going in reverse alphabetical order here. John Stockton got one honorable mention vote from Ben. Pete Maravich got one honorable mention vote from Ron. That's very close to my heart, one of my favorite players of all time, even if I couldn't make room for him. John Havlicek got one honorable mention vote from me. Walt Frazier got one honorable mention vote from Steve. I'm shaking my fist as a Clevelander. Steph Curry gets one honorable mention vote from Ben. I'm shaking my fist as a Clevelander. And Elgin Baylor, he gets one honorable mention vote from Steve, who was able to make room for him on his ballot, as I was not. So on that note, I'll start with you, Steve, if you have thoughts on any of the guys here who just made the tail end of our list.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts just quickly. Pistol Pete was one of my heroes when I was growing up, and I'll say on the air, I think he's the greatest ball handler and the greatest passer who ever lived. But this is an NBA top 10 list, and as great as he was, his NBA career, I would call an excellent career, but I would not call it a great career, certainly not a top 10. Stockton and Malone were my two just misses, as you had just misses, so I understand the greatness of Stockton. Havlicek, of course, you know, the Energizer Bunny. Frazier, I wrote a long thing. I think you posted it. I wrote a long thing on Frazier. I'm the only guy who mentioned him. But I will say this quickly. Bill Simmons wrote the basketball book. And in the back of the book, he wrote a thing about Frazier where his father told him, his father was a Celtics season ticket holder, his father told him the greatest backcourt of all time was Michael Jordan and Walt Frazier. And when the book came out, Simmons had Jordan number one and Frazier number 31, and even said in the Frazier piece that my father told me that the greatest backcourt of all time was Jordan and Frazier. That's good enough for me. Well, if it's good enough for you, then Frazier should have been much higher. Elgin Baylor was Dr. J before Dr. J. Steph Curry, much as I like him, he's got a ways to go. And my recollection of his last year in the finals is him running away from screen and roll so he wouldn't have to guard somebody else. So that's kind of a negative for me. And I think that's the list of the first five you want to go through now, or the first six, I should say. But all great players, obviously. You got to be great to make this list.
Very much so. And I felt Elgin Baylor was the greatest player never to have won a championship. I believe I noted that when I said he just missed my honorable mention. Chris, you got thoughts on any of those guys?
Well, first, you probably would note that I chose not to do any honorable mentions in my voting. And I did so not to slight anybody, but because I felt that once we got past what I felt was the top 10, then we're getting into that group of about 40 guys that probably are just all-time greats. We all love them for different reasons. Some level of argument can be made for any of them at any point, you know, because they've had great careers, maybe not necessarily based on championships. So I just chose to stay away from the honorable mentions, but I think the list that you have here is pretty spot on.
Well, those are good points by you, Chris. I think that, again, you're getting to a lot of guys that are pretty interchangeable. I think that is an excellent point to be made. As we go a little bit up the ladder, you're going to see a little bit more of the same. Tied for 17th, two honorable mention votes apiece. Isaiah Thomas, I presume the original model, 20 points for him. Dave voted for him honorable mention, as did Jason. Tied for 17th as well, Kevin Durant, 20 points. Steve and Ben voting him honorable mention. And again, as I think about it, a guy who probably just missed my list, we tend to kind of sometimes sleep on how long he's been in the league and how complete his record is already. So it was a tough one for me to leave off the list, notwithstanding my thoughts as a Cavs fan. Also tied for 17th, Charles Barkley with 20 points. Dave and Ben giving him honorable mention. So Steve, you had named one of the three guys on this list here. Thoughts on the next three, if you have any?
Well, I think Durant made the made my honorable mention because he's coming and he's coming fast. To me, all-time players that are playing now are LeBron and Durant. I would not agree with Curry. Maybe others are coming. But what Durant did last year in the finals, and I know it's only one, but this is a guy who's already won like four or five scoring titles. What he did at the end of Game 7 is one of those things that propels him, in my view, into at least an honorable mention in this category now, but he's got a lot of years to play. Barkley, one of the greatest players ever not to win a championship, as you said. Isaiah Thomas, incredible, incredible player. I have no problems with him here. I don't see him much higher than that, and I did not have him as an honorable mention. But again, you're talking three more great players.
You absolutely are. Thoughts on any of those, Chris?
I agree with Steve. In large part, I would also agree with Steph Curry. I see him as sort of our generation's Jerry West. He's going to be a great player, but I don't think he's ever going to get into the top 10 despite all the current hype. As we get into the next grouping of honorable mentions, I'll dive further into my thoughts on Olajuwon.
Okay, excellent, and very, very good foreshadowing on your part as far as mentioning Jerry West, because I'm going to take the next four guys together, even though they don't have the same number of points, because they grade out pretty close in terms of points, from 35 points to 30. We start with a tie for 15th, 30 points. That means three honorable mention votes apiece. Jerry West, I gave him a vote, Ron gave him a vote, and Steve gave him a vote. Tied for 15th with 30 points, Hakeem Olajuwon. I gave him a vote, Dave gave him a vote, and Jason gave him a vote. 14th place, the biggest outlier on the entire list as far as where they're at and the number of points that they got and getting them all from one individual. Jason voted for Allen Iverson, 9th place on his ballot. That gives him 32 points and slots him right in 14th place here. The thing I will say about this, and not to say in Jason's defense, because he doesn't need defending, and his arguments are valid, and he's got a lot of guts with the arguments that he makes, is that he is somebody who is a sports romantic. And if you are somebody who is greatly, greatly gifted, I remember him rhapsodizing on the show some years ago about John Wall before he came into the NBA. And to me, one of the criminally underplayed stories of the 2010s is why John Wall is only a four-time All-Star, why he hasn't been a transcendent player in the NBA. He's been a very good player, an excellent player, but not transcendent. So I realize that I'm spotlighting a case where Jason, at least thus far, has proven to be wrong, and I don't mean to do that, but here were his notes on Iverson. Immeasurable talent, changes the game forever, played like he was built like LeBron in a 6-foot, 170-pound frame. So he voted for Iverson for those reasons, and he did put up a very, very good track record. Again, he was sort of on an island as far as his positioning of him, but such is life. 13th place, Karl Malone, 35 points. That means he got a 10th place ballot from Ben and an honorable mention from Ron. So those four right there, West and Olajuwon tied for 15th, then Iverson narrowly ahead of him, then Karl Malone narrowly ahead of him. There's a big gulf, I should say, between 12th and 13th place here. That's why we're leaving off. Those four guys are bunched pretty closely together. Chris, resume your thoughts there. You had mentioned Jerry West. You thought you had some thoughts on Olajuwon as well.
Well, Olajuwon, you know, since I didn't go the honorable mention route, Olajuwon was, for me, the big debate in my top ten between him and Tim Duncan. When you look at Olajuwon's career, it wasn't the longest NBA career. But, you know, in the 93-94 season, when he was named, MVP of the league, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and the Finals MVP, and the first one to do that. And hey, I mean, you're a great player when you have a move named after you, the Dream Shake. I'm a little disappointed where Hakeem the Dream came in our overall rankings, because I spent a lot of time in my head looking between Tim Duncan and Olajuwon. I gave the nod in my top ten to Duncan because I felt he did a little bit more and had a longer career than Olajuwon, so I valued that, weighted that. But I suppose if I was going to give an honorable mention nod, Olajuwon would have been my number 11.
Very interesting. And I agree with you on the greatness of him. And as the Simmons basketball book points out, you look at that stretch in the late 80s there, and that Rockets team that lost in the finals to the Celtics in 86, that is one of the great what-if stories, and that the hardcore hoops people in Houston will tell you that those teams with the Twin Towers and John Lucas and some of those guys had the chance to be better than the mid-90s Rockets, which really kind of says something. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on those four guys?
Well, I'll say this. Had Chris put in honorable mentions, as you know, just mathematically, Olajuwon would have jumped a few places there just right by adding him. I'll say this, to me, one of the most athletically gifted centers, his footwork still being taught today by him to other young centers. Of course, the game has totally changed. But yeah, he just missed for me. And I don't know if it's partly because the 2 years they won, as you know, were the 2 years Jordan took off to play baseball. That shouldn't take anything away from him as a player. And the stats that Chris just laid out about Olajuwon that year, and of course they beat the Knicks, so I'm more than fully familiar with that whole series. But, I will say positively, though, for Jerry West, he was my debate for number 10. And Jerry West is, look, I'm old. I've seen all these guys play. And I put three of that era guys, you know, Russell, Chamberlain, and Oscar, I put them in the top five, so you know where I'm coming from. West, frankly, is right there with those guys, but just a shade behind. Never won a championship until Russell retired, so he did eventually get one, as you know. But a great defender, a great player, the logo.
Yeah.
So I think he could have been higher, but I had him 11th, and of course if I moved him to 10th, he probably would have jumped a few places as well. As for Iverson, look, I love the little guy. Iverson, a great player. The reason I don't have him top 10 or even top 15, well, I would agree, and maybe we can debate this another time, Rick, but I would agree with Jason that he changed the game. To me, the way he changed the game was he became the first guy to really carry at will and get away with it. This revolutionized the game of basketball, and it did. And I'm not even trying to be funny, but if you can think back to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you could never even split a double team, because in order to split a double team, you have to change the position of your hand with the ball to literally push it through the double team. And for, you know, from the 40s through the early 90s, that was a carry.
Yeah.
But then it all left. You know, people today, when Monroe came on the scene, oh, look at Monroe, he carries every play. If you watch old Monroe tapes, he's tame compared to what Iverson did. And I can remember still playing in pretty good leagues in the early 90s and seeing guys get into fistfights over carry calls, because that's when it changed, and I think it's due to Iverson. But in terms of heart and playing like LeBron, even though he was 6 feet, I totally agree with that. He just wasn't quite good enough for me. And again, I root for him. I love the little guys. Just wasn't quite good enough for me to make my top 15. And for Malone, you can make a case again. I don't know if he and Stockton are knocked down a little. No championships. It probably shouldn't count for as much as it counts for, but it does count. But, you know, arguably the greatest greatest power forward of all time. I kind of lean towards Duncan in that respect, and that's why on my list Duncan is 10.
Yeah, and Duncan made my top 10 as well, and we're going to get to that now. The next level, I would say, 10, 11, 12, it was very, very close-knit balloting right there. The battle for 10th place, the battle to be in the top 10, I guess this is kind of fitting. And as I said before, there is a big gulf between 12 and 13 on this list. The battle really kind of starts here as far as the top 10 overall. We start with 12th place, Dr. J, Julius Erving, 170 points. I gave him honorable mention. Ron gave him 10th, Dave gave him 10th, Ben gave him 9th, Chris gave him 9th, and Jason gave him 7th. Kind of bunched up there on what we all thought of him. Number 11, Tim Duncan, 176 points, so just 6 points in front of the next spot there. I put him in 8th place. I was one of the friendlier votes to him. Ron gave him honorable mention, Dave honorable mention, Steve 10, Chris 10, Jason 5. So that kind of helped him a little bit there on Jason's ballot. And number 10, Shaquille O'Neal, 183 points, just 7 ahead of Duncan, just 13 ahead of Dr. J. I gave him honorable mention, as did Ron, as did Jason, as did Steve. But he benefited in particular in making the top 10 from two ballots. Ben slotted him 5th, and Dave slotted him 4th. So two guys who went out and kind of broke what had been more or less a consensus catapulted him ultimately into the top 10. So Dr. J, Duncan, Shaq. Chris, your thoughts on those three?
Obviously, you know, my feelings on number 10 and where I have Tim Duncan. Julius Erving at 12, I had him at 9. For me, when I was a child, I think Dr. J was the first basketball player I ever became aware of. You know, what he could do, I guess to this day in my mind, is still magical. You know, this is where you're going to get into a little bit of controversy with me, because you'll notice in my top 10, there is no Shaquille O'Neal and there is no Will Chamberlain.
Yes.
And that is, and I will acknowledge, a sort of a personal bias. Steve's talking about how much we love the little guys, because they can change the game and they can do so much in a big man game. Especially the special ones like Iverson or Curry. But I discount, and why they didn't make the top 10, I discount Shaquille O'Neal. Even though he made our top 10. Because to me, watching Shaquille throughout his career, and there were moments of greatness, and he won a lot of rings, and he was a larger-than-life figure, to me, he was just an enormously large man that had a narrow skill set and was able to use his physicality, his overwhelming physicality, to be a great NBA player. Not that he is one of the top 10 basketball players of all time, And so I discount a lot of how I think and why I think he ends up in high people's ratings. And to some degree, I do the same with Will, although his skill set was far greater than Shaq's. I do the same in the sense that he was an overwhelming physical presence in a time when the people he was playing against in the league were far inferior, in my opinion, overall talent and ability. And I wonder about guys like Will today, if they played today, he'd be a really good player. Would he be more like a Duncan, sort of just scratching that outside top 10? Or would he be this larger-than-life figure that some people consider him to be?
That's a very good question, and I'm sure Steve has some thoughts on these guys and some of the answers to that in his estimation.
Well, I'll save my Wilt stuff until we get to Wilt, because okay, he's higher up. But I like a lot of what Chris just said about Shaq. I view Wilt and Shaq very differently. Wilt was an incredible athlete, and we'll get to that when we get to Wilt. But in terms of these three, Dr. J, and look, I'm older than everybody. Not only did I see Dr. J playing the ABA, I saw him playing the Rucker, because I grew up in New York. And Dr. J, the problem for me on this list is Dr. J in the NBA was not even Dr. J in the ABA.
Right.
And while I agree he's an all-time great, as an NBA player, not only could I not put him in the top 10, I couldn't even put him in my honorable mention list. So, again, I take nothing away from Dr. J. I agree with the notion that he revolutionized the game, but he revolutionized the game at a level when TV started to come into play. You can still see the ABA dunk contest with maybe the most legendary dunk in the history of the world when he took off from the foul line, the big afro, the whole bit. But as an NBA player, I view him to be an excellent to maybe great player, but not great enough to be on this list for me. Kind of an okay shooter, certainly not a great shooter. Kind of a good defender, but not a great defender. Relied more on his athleticism than in terms of defensive skills and positioning. So I love Dr. J. He's a New York guy, but that's why he wasn't on the list. It was more about picking the top 10 NBA players, which is why Pistol Pete wasn't on my list as well, although I would have Irving higher than Pistol Pete. As for Duncan, the greatest nickname ever, given to him by Shaq, the big fundamental, just a guy who went about his business. If he was a loudmouth who promoted himself, he'd be higher on the list, because that's the world we live in the last 20, 25 years. But I agree with the big fundamental. I had him 10th. I had a big discussion in my head for 10th between he and Jerry West, and could have even thrown Elgin Baylor in. You know, a lot of people will say Baylor was Irving before Irving, and I kind of agree with that to some degree. And as for Shaq, I would adopt what Chris said. I put him as an honorable mention because I think it's a true statement, and Shaq said it. Wilt was the most physically dominant player of all time. Shaq was second. To me, there's a gigantic gap in between first and second, and we'll get to that with Wilt. But I think, didn't Durant just say last year when Shaq criticized him during the finals, didn't Durant just say he was bigger and stronger than everybody? He wasn't a great basketball player. So that's kind of what Chris is saying. But I thought he did enough domination and won enough titles as the main man. Don't forget, when he and Kobe won three, he was the MVP in all three. That counts for enough to me to put him on the honorable mention list, but not in the top 10.
I agree with a lot of that, and I think my feeling on Shaq was always that Shaq would have been a great, had he played football, he would have been a great, you know, potential Hall of Fame, you know, NFL lineman as well, you know, because of his size and his physicality. He just happened to play basketball. You know, he couldn't hit a free throw. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't shoot from outside. He had no particular skills other than getting the ball close to the hoop and just being able to overwhelm everyone.
Very good point, and he was very effective in what he did, but yes, he was blessed with a lot of natural skills there, and it's kind of fitting, hearing Steve mention Kobe there and talking about that Kobe is actually next up on the list. I'm going to take the next three guys more or less together. When you look at it, when you look at how long Kobe was still Kobe, which I would say it took until about 2013, never the same after the first bad injury, but from the end of Shaq's effective career as a star to when that happened to Kobe, it was roughly the same number of years that Shaq was in the league before Kobe came in. So each of these guys had a prime and a pre-prime and a post-prime that was roughly about the same amount of time here. with all the jostling between them in the early 2000s about who was the better player, it's very fitting that they're in back-to-back spots on this list. Kobe comes in at number 9, 248 points. A little bit of a gap again in the balloting between him and Shaq. Shaq had 183 points in 10th place. The ballots for Kobe, I slotted him 9th, Ron slotted him 5th. Dave gave him an honorable mention. Steve said 7th, Chris said 8th, and Jason said 6th. Next up, Larry Bird, 279 points in 8th place. I put him 10th, Ron said 7th, Dave said 7th, Steve said 9th, Ben said 8th, Chris said 6th, and Jason said 8th. I was actually the lowest of the bunch. The thing that I'll say about that is, while recognizing his overall all-around game, which I've actually seen some comparisons recently to a lot of, but not all of, LeBron's game, and I would kind of co-sign on that. What hurt him a little bit in my eyes was the back injury, having his career cut short a little bit, as was Magic's, ironically, at right about the same point in time. Neither one of these guys playing the longer-type career such that we saw from Jordan and LeBron and a couple of others. That would have definitely boosted him a little bit. Also, Simmons' thing in his basketball book, very interesting, when he talks about how the NBA started getting more athletic small forwards in the late 80s, as opposed to the guys that Bird was playing against in the earlier 80s, and about how his effectiveness against some of these more athletic small forwards was maybe not quite the same. Number 7, Bill Russell, 308 points. I thought I was going to have him lower than most, but I was right in the middle of the consensus. I had him 7th, Ron had him 8th, Dave had him 6th, Steve had him 5th, Ben had him 7th, Chris had him 7th, Jason said honorable mention. And for me, he was the epitome of the point that was made earlier that Chris said about Wilt. I make that point about Russell of what would he be like today. You look at his game and how it would translate, and again, you have to wonder, in terms of today's NBA, with his body, with what he was able to do at that time, not towering over guys as he did back in the 60s, what his game would translate to. So it's the 11 rings versus that, and to me, that sort of put him right in the middle of the spectrum here. If you're taking the greatness on the one hand, the unparalleled winning versus what would he do today, for me, that averaged out to 7th place, and that's exactly where he came in. So Kobe 9th, Bird 8th, Russell 7th. Chris, why don't you take it away, since there's two chowed players on that list.
Thank you. And I know that Larry Bird is lower on Rick's top 10 because of his chowed bias. probably ain't Rick to put anybody in a Boston uniform in the top 10. This is where the list, for me, starts to get a little more where we ended up as the collective in terms of where I was. Obviously, I had Bill Russell at 7 and Larry Bird at 6, and on our list we had Bill Russell at 7 and Larry Bird at 8. So I think we're starting to, as we get further and further down the list, you start to see where everybody's voting tends to get a lot tighter in terms of their opinion. Jason giving the honorable mention to Bill Russell, let's be honest, that kept him from probably being number 6 on this list.
Right.
But I think 7 is about right in terms of when you look at his game, if you look at the modern game. I sort of wrestled with that myself in terms of where would he be today, maybe a position change. And that might directly affect his career if he played today. But based on what he did in body of work in the championships, there's no denying Bill Russell's greatness, especially on the defensive end of the floor, where we at times really, really undervalued with these great players. When we look at Kobe Bryant at 9, I had him at 8, and I think that's about right. And I think he is the player that is the closest to Jordan in terms of who Jordan was as a player. We're going to spend a lot of time, and everybody spends so much time comparing Jordan to James, and they're just very different players. And so sometimes that's just sort of a false equivalency. Kobe is truly Michael Jordan Jr., and his career and the championships and the assassin mentality gets him squarely into the top 10, number 9 on our list, number 8 on my list. So those are kind of my thoughts on those three fellows.
Well, Steve, what are your thoughts? I know you must have a number about them.
Well, I have Kobe a little higher at 7 than 9, of course. I have Bird one lower. I think Chris is right once we get here. You know, you're talking about all-time greats, and we can juggle the positions. I had Russell at five, and I'd rather speak the most on Russell. I have a brother-in-law who's much older than me. He's like 70 now, and he was the biggest Celtic fan in New York City in those glory days. And if he knew we were doing this right now, he would try and somehow break onto the phone line to tell us we're all nuts, because there's no chance that number one could be anything other than Bill Russell. I understand the comparisons, his body then versus his body in the league now. But see, my problem with all of that, and we're going to get to that when we talk about like a guy like Oscar, not Wilt so much because he was dominant in any era. But here's my problem with that. You have to me anyway, one has to consider and understand. So what if these guys, Oscar, Wilt, West, Bill Russell, what if they were born 30 or 40 years later to play in today's game? Maybe Russell would be 7 feet with that athleticism. I don't know. Maybe Oscar would have been 6'7 instead of 6'5. I don't know. So when you talk about the way it is today with nutrition, for example, and I haven't even mentioned, we'll get to Oscar at length when we do him, but the racism that these guys had to deal with on an everyday basis, I think that broke a lot of players back then. Didn't break Wilt, didn't break Oscar, they dealt with it. But the players today, and they still have to go through some stuff, but it's nothing compared to what these guys went through in the 50s and 60s and 40s. So when we say, yeah, if we drop Bill Russell's body into today, you know, I kind of have to agree with that. But he's five on my list because he's the greatest winner ever and the greatest defender ever in my book. And look, he played against Wilt all the time, so you can't tell me he couldn't play against anybody today, because he could have. As for Bird and Kobe, I had Kobe higher than Bird. Bird's athleticism, obviously, everybody says, oh, he wasn't that great, blah, 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 but he had an incredibly quick first step, and there's a big difference between speed and quickness. And a lot of these guys, like a Wall you were talking about before today, he had speed and quickness, and Iverson had speed and quickness. Bird had quickness, but wasn't fast from point A to point B, and that hurt him a little while he played, and I agree, it hurt him later in his career, but still, one of the all-time great trash talkers who backed it up and, you know, was an early three-point guy. If Bird started shooting, another thing when we start talking about three-point shots, as you can see today, they're getting better and better and better. Why? I went to a fourth-grade basketball game last year with a fourth grader, and in warm-ups, they're all taking threes. It just wasn't done back then, because in the 40s and 50s and 60s into the 70s, what'd you do? You try and throw the ball into the big man. The point was to get a shot close to the basket. So today they say the mid-range jumper is the dumbest shot in the world, because it's not a layup and it's not a three. So it's hard once we get there with all of that stuff. The reason I rank Kobe on top of Bird, it's because Kobe was an incredible defender, and I agree with Chris, the comparisons with Jordan should be Kobe and Jordan, and I would have Jordan above Kobe, not necessarily Jordan and LeBron, but most arguments of the all-time greatest player, because we're in 2017, is going to be, you know, between Jordan and LeBron. I totally disagree with that, as we'll find out in a few picks, but those are my comments.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we move on, I want to highlight this here because you guys will find this funny, as I did. Getting together recently to watch a Cavs game with a couple of friends of mine included two guys in their mid-50s. So this has something to do with the perspective. It also has to do with the perspective of hating the Golden State Warriors, because these guys, it was a real get-off-my-lawn moment of like, you know, the three-point line is destroying today's game. I don't like today's game. It's not as pure as it used to be. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's pretty convenient. We're all Cavs fans, and you're saying that. Golden State's the team that really changed the game a couple of years ago, so that was kind of amusing. We get up to number
and Rick,
six.
When you're putting this together, will you take and cut out that segment that Steve just did and have that almost put that on the social media as a standalone? Because I just want to say that was some very well thought out analysis when you look at how society, culture, and other factors can affect these types of lists. When you talk about the social things like racism and bigotry that the earlier players had to deal with, that is absolutely a factor. And when you look at even things, you know, that's a comment that, you know, about nutrition and science that you don't even hear anymore, because, you know, I've never heard anybody talk about that as it relates to, you know, to Bill Russell, which is, you know, would he be 2 inches taller today, you know, if he was born today? You know, we know from a society that people are taller. And with sports science and all these other things. So Bravo to you, Steve. I thought that was some really good thinking on your part, how you broke all that down in terms of how the eras are different, how we have to sort of evaluate things.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'll tell you what, I'll commit myself publicly to this. I do a fair number of best of compilations. 951 is actually going to be the best guest clips from 851 to 950. Next time I do one on roundtables, that'll be in there. That's a great point, Chris. I will definitely include Steve's breakdown of that.